A key player in the diplomatic standoff with Iran is John Bolton, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He's a controversial figure. Ambassador Bolton has taken a tough stance regarding Iran. He spoke earlier with my colleague Alex Chadwick.
Ambassador Bolton, the U.S. position on Iran, if I understand it, is that Iran must suspend uranium enrichment before the U.S. will engage in direct talks with that country. But shouldn't the suspension of uranium enrichment be an end point of negotiation?
Not at all. The Iranians for the past 3 years have used their ongoing negotiations with the Europeans to continue to perfect various important aspects of the nuclear fuel cycle. Whole series of very complex scientific and technological steps that they've been able to accomplish while negotiations have been going on. That's why the precondition is so important. And let me say, that's not just an American precondition. That's the precondition that the European countries have insisted, that the Security Council has insisted, and all five of its permanent members have insisted upon. So that's a position that's very widely shared.
Much of our information on Iran's nuclear program comes from the International Atomic Energy Agency. That's a UN agency, the same one that said before the Iraq War that Iraq did not have an active nuclear weapons program. Turns out that IAEA was correct then. We went to war anyway over weapons of mass destruction. Do you now accept the IAEA as a very authoritative, maybe the authoritative body on questions of nuclear weapons?
Well, it's a source of information, and I might say the bulk of the information that is publicly known has come from the IAEA, and in fact, it's that public information that leads to what we think is the inescapable conclusion that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. We have other information that supports that as well, but there's no other conclusion you can draw, even from the publicly available information, in our view. What the IAEA knows about Iran is what it knows, and there's a lot that it doesn't know and a lot that we don't know, and that's why any suspension of Iran's uranium enrichment activities has to be fully verifiable. And given the pattern that the Iranians have followed for many years now of lying to the IAEA, of concealing data, of obstructing their work, of actually deconstructing buildings and plowing up hundreds of cubic yards of dirt to keep evidence of their nuclear activity away from the IAEA's basis for our concern about their activity.
But, sir, the IAEA itself has not reached the conclusion that you say you have.
Well, that is a conclusion that we have drawn because of the range and scope of the Iranian activities. But the IAEA has also concluded they can't say that the program is peaceful, which they do say with respect to many other programs. Let me give you one example, one piece of information. The Iranians have documents that they received from the AQ-Khan Proliferation Network that show how to fabricate uranium metal into spheres. Hemispheres. Now, there's no reason to know how to do that unless you're manufacturing nuclear weapons. That has absolutely nothing to do with the production of peaceful nuclear energy.
This is the rogue Pakistani scientist who was a source of nuclear weapons information for many people.
Exactly. He was a proliferator to countries like North Korea, we think to Iran, to Libya, and perhaps elsewhere as well. He was not in the business of civil nuclear power. Now, the vast majority of governments of the IAEA board that considered the question, I think, did come to the conclusion that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. And that's something, as I say, that simply cannot be explained by anything other than looking at the whole range of their activity. There's just no other explanation for why they're engaged in it.
But even if they do have these plans, there's no public information anyway that they have the metals that you're talking about that they would need to construct these hemispheres.
Well, that's my point about what the IAEA knows. What they know is only what they know. Iran is a very big country, and one of the reasons we've been concerned about the extent of Iran's activity is that when it perfects the uranium enrichment technique, they can, in cookie-cutter fashion, replicate the technology in facilities hundreds of miles away from IAEA inspectors at the Natanz facility where they're currently inspecting. And we would have no way of knowing that they had done that.
You've been very critical over the years about management and what you would say is mismanagement at the UN. There was that famous remark of yours more than 10 years ago, if the UN secretarial building, quote, lost 10 stories, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. Is there anything that you have come to like in the time that you have been there as U.S. ambassador?
Well, I've always had a lot of respect for the UN system's ability to deliver humanitarian relief. If you look at organizations like the High Commissioner for Refugees, the World Food Program, UNICEF, they've been doing good work for a long time. My remark, which I made before I joined the government, reflects my belief there's not a government or intergovernmental agency in the world that can't be reduced in size and made more efficient.
Your own term as U.S. ambassador is complicated somewhat by the fact that you have not been confirmed by the Senate. I wonder how that complicates your life, and if you have any sense that something that you have done in your performance in the job or in your temperament may account for some part of this delay in the Senate, or is this just politics going on?
Well, I think a large part of it is politics. And frankly, what I do is just try and do my job up here. The nomination's in the hands of the Senate. I'll keep my fingers crossed, but basically I'm just going to do the job up here.
John Bolton, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for speaking with us on Day to Day.
Happy to do it.
And you can hear Alex's full interview with Ambassador Bolton at npr.org.